Hello, everybody. Welcome to another episode of Get Into It with Gila. I'm Gila Glassberg, your host, registered dietitian, and certified intuitive eating counselor. And today's episode is going to be a little bit different. So right off the bat, I wanted to say I have not been able to put out episodes in a while. A lot going on here, as I'm sure there's a lot going on with you. Right off the bat, I want to say that it's hard for me to go about my day regularly when I know that the Jewish people, which are my people, are suffering through a war in Israel right now. And it's so debilitating and painful. And as I spoke about it in the last podcast, I think that our role is to strengthen ourselves, strengthen our emunah, strengthen our bitachon, strengthen our Jewish pride, strengthen our unity. And that's really what I think Hashem wants us to do. I know that I've learned that anti-Semitism comes about when there's assimilation in the world, because we are supposed to be proud to be different. And I know for myself, total disclosure, I have a hard time with it. Like when I'm riding the subway or on the train or in a grocery store where there's mostly non-Jewish people and I'm wearing my tichel or my skirt, like there is a tinge of like insecurity that I feel. And for those people who just like, you know, wear their tznias clothing or their yarmulke so proudly, like I look up to them. And just to, I guess, you know, I always say like validate the experience for myself. I think that part of human nature is like just really wanting to fit in. And it makes sense when we feel like we're different, and we are different. We're less than 1% of the world. It creates this fear that maybe we're wrong or we're doing the wrong thing. And it's, you know, built into the infrastructure of the world that God said, Hashem said, that if we don't carry that difference proudly, then there will almost be like an automatic divide. And it's really sad to see people just like literally not liking people for being Jewish. And like there's so much emphasis on like tolerance and accepting people for who they are. Like I want to do a panel with other dietitians or people who do intuitive eating, whether they're therapists or any other profession, and just talk about how intuitive eating has really taken on a different role, in a sense that it's joined the health at every size body positivity movement, which I do value a lot of what comes out of those movements. But I think that we've taken it to such an extreme. For example, like my sister-in-law actually pointed this out to me, and I thought it was like really wise. She said like, it's such an interesting thing that that like in the, let's say, in the world of like transgender or changing your gender from girl to boy or boy to girl, that's like totally accepted. But it's also like sort of part of that body positivity movement of like you could be whatever you want to be. And part of the body positive movement is also accepting your body for who you are, for what it is. So there, I feel like that's just like a major clash that people overlook. And I don't want to like bring up too much controversy. It's just a thought that my sister-in-law brought to my attention, and I thought it was very true. So it's like we're so tolerant of what anyone wants or feels that we're so intolerant of other things. It's like so mixed up. And I was saying to my husband last night that like we're lucky. Sometimes I feel, you know, just to be honest, like sometimes Judaism can feel like that burden, like when you're out traveling and on the road and you have nothing to eat and you're at a gas station and you just want to feed your family some yogurt and fruit or whatever. I mean, fruit's fine, but you know what I mean? And it's like you feel a little bit like burdened, or like other things, like you can't go here, you can't go there, or Shabbos. I don't actually feel like that. But again, like, I mean, Hashem commanded us to do those things, and it's supposed to be hard. There's a part of us, otherwise it really wouldn't, not that it wouldn't count, but the harder the mitzvah, the bigger the reward. So it's just Hashem made us one way, and he also commanded us to do other things. And when I think about it, like we have, I think we're all sort of governed by something. So we're governed by like the rules, the guidelines, the mitzvahs of the Torah, but other people who don't have those guidelines and structure end up being governed by something, whether it's their desires, whether it's their passions, whatever it is. So like we're lucky that we, in this world, like if I didn't have Judaism or like Torah or the people in my life that anger me, like I just wouldn't know what to think. And I understand that the media portrays like the other side of this story very strongly, like that we as Jews are doing something wrong by defending ourselves. I understand that, but it's like, it's so crazy how that comes to be believed as truth. And again, like I've posted this on my status on my Instagram, that like the only way that I could wrap my head around what's going on in the world is that like Hashem makes it like this, because I don't think that people are inherently bad. I really don't. I think most people are good. I think, I know this is such a silly example, but I really think about this a lot. If you saw the movie 13 Lives, it's the story of the boys that got trapped in a cave in Thailand, and it was such a fascinating movie. I watched it twice, and my sister's an anesthesiologist, so not to give it away, but she also thought it was, she told me to watch it. And I think about that story, and I don't want to give it away, so spoiler alert, but I think about that story a lot when I think about the fact that 13 boys got stuck in a cave and the whole entire world was up in arms trying to get those boys out, and people even gave up their crop so that they could divert the water from out of the cave, which I just thought was fascinating. Like we, I think that maybe because of social media or because news travels so fast, and we tend to share bad news over good news because nobody would watch the news if it was all good news. There actually used to be like a news channel that was all good news and nobody watched it, right? Like we want the drama and the action, unfortunately. So when I think about like people in my life, Jewish, non-Jewish, I think that people are inherently good. I really do. Do people sometimes make really poor choices that take them down a line of really, really bad, poor choices, and then they almost don't want to give up their poor choices because then they're admitting that they've made all those mistakes along the way? Yes, but I mean, I guess a strong, powerful, honest person will look at those mistakes and realize that we all make mistakes and try to move forward. But that's not really the topic of this conversation. So, anyways, it's hard. I'm not going to get into the political side of things because I don't really want to go down that route. All I could say is that like I guess this has strengthened my emunah b'tachon, because it's almost like somebody said to me, like a miracle in the opposite direction of what happened, that so many people were able to be killed, and as and it continued for so many hours. It's just almost unnatural, like because of like the strength of the IDF. And it's just, yeah, we're still all like reeling in pain and really need to get those hostages back. And it's just, yeah, it's just hard to speak coherently. It's hard to go about our normal lives with this going on. And I think that if there's anything that I could do or say is that like whenever I get trapped in the news and just spiraling and feeling anxious and nervous, I just think that this is where Hashem wants us to be, and the only thing we could do is daven and be there for each other. And I think it's amazing to see how much people are there for each other. And if we could just focus on that and try to move forward, I think that that would ultimately bring the most positive results. Okay, so that being said, I had somebody reach out to me. Her name is Shoshana, and she lives in Israel. And she reached out to me saying that she listens to the podcast and she wanted to share her story of going through the intuitive reading steps. And she lives in Israel right now, and she's living within the actual place where the war is taking place. So she, because everything's been so busy, I actually said we'll do a podcast. But then I said, you know what? If it's okay with you, just record yourself telling your story, and I'll post it to the podcast. And I think I don't know about you, but I'm looking for content to listen to while I'm folding laundry. That's not just about the war. So maybe this will help you. And I will just share that last week I had an amazing week. I spoke for Chezkeno, an organization that helps women who struggle with mental illness in the Frum community. And it's an amazing, amazing organization. If you would like to hear how it came to be, you could scroll back to two episodes I have with Zahava List, who's one of the founders of Chezkeno. And honestly, like I had one of the best days ever. I love speaking with the women. I love gaining from their strength. I love teaching them about intuitive eating. And the two topics that I covered was intuitive eating and self-compassion and body acceptance. So I'm just putting it out there. If you work in a school or you have an ishe event in your shul, or you just want to teach your community, or you want more schools to hear about this, reach out. I'm happy to come and share it. And one of the coolest things about Chezkeno and Zahava List is that, you know, I've said this before on the podcast, that I get really nervous when I public speak. Thank God it's getting better, and I'm challenging myself and feeling the fear and doing it anyways. Like I like to try to help people do also. But they Because I see that public speaking versus interviewing is a totally different thing. I actually prefer to be interviewed and not know what's going to be asked than have to just speak and lecture. And I much prefer that workshop style where people are raising their hands and asking questions and everybody's giving their input and we're all sort of like figuring it out together. So Zahava actually interviewed me and I answered the questions and it was just really, really amazing. And I met amazing women who are really give me chizuk working so hard on themselves. And then on Thursday, I actually went to a dietitian, like conference, networking event, where dietitians all from women came together and networked, and we heard from Elise Rush, and we heard from Amy Plano, like two well-known dietitians, and it was really nice to see so many dietitians in the room. Not everybody is intuitive eating informed, but many were, and it's just really nice to see that intuitive eating is becoming somewhat mainstream. And it was just awesome to meet all those dietitians, especially those who are know about intuitive eating and are even practicing. So if you need, I met somebody in Lakewood who takes insurance. Feel free to reach out to me. You could email me at gilaglassberg18@gmail.com. You could text me 570-878-3642, and I'm happy to help you find the right help that you need. And if you have a story, if you have a question, please voice note me at 570-878-3642 on WhatsApp, or you could send me an email and I would be so happy to answer that question or share your story here on the podcast. I think we all need to hear stories of chizuk and stories of strength and just stories to keep us going. So I'm more than happy if you would like to share. Obviously, I'll listen to it first and make sure that it's the right content for the podcast, but please feel free to reach out. And if you are looking to make peace with food and you want to work with me one-on-one, you could email me gilaglassberg18@gmail.com. You can WhatsApp me 570-878-3642. And you could also I just wanted to put this out there that I just posted a new blog that a client sent me and I thought it was so beautiful. I didn't write it, she wrote it, but I wanted to share it. So go to gilaglassberg.com and click on blog, and it's the last blog that I uploaded. So check that out if you want to see some more amazing content. And I am recruiting now for an intuitive eating group, which we will learn the 10 principles of intuitive eating, and it will also be an amazing support group, which I've already run a bunch of times. So again, reach out, gilaglassberg18@gmail.com, 570-878-3642. And without further ado, here is the episode. Hi, everyone, and welcome to my podcast, Get Into It with Gila. I know you're going to love the content here because you will gain inspiration, powerful tools and insights, and valuable knowledge. If you want more of this, please visit my website at www.gilaglassberg.com or visit me on Instagram at Gila Glassberg. I'm Gila Glassberg, a registered dietitian and intuitive eating counselor. I've come to realize by counseling many, many women that this work is much deeper and greater than food and body image. It's the bigger picture challenges we face of love, belonging, acceptance, what our true values and goals are, noticing them, addressing them, and gaining skills to move forward. If you have been struggling with what your life's purpose is, or you just feel stuck in general and don't know what's holding you back, this podcast will enlighten and inspire you to take action and move forward. This podcast is about other women in the 21st century who feel that losing weight will fix all their problems or somehow meet their unmet needs.
So it's interesting. If asked what my earliest food memory is, I actually don't think I have one. Like, I'm thinking back and I don't really remember anything like sticking out really strongly relating to food. If anything, maybe I have like one. I remember I had like a great uncle who was living in an old age home that we would go visit. And I remember he used to bake, he would bake this really good sponge cake, actually. And I just remember as a kid, like really loving that sponge cake. And it just reminded me of him. To this day, when I eat sponge cake, it reminds me of him. And he was kind of like a grandfather to us, this really sweet older man. And he would make it for us when we would come visit him. And like, it's really just like a sweet, like, you know, fuzzy memory, like a warm, fuzzy memory. So that's interesting. I don't have anything that really feels like really majorly like sticking out as like an intense memory for me. Baruch Hashem, but I feel like that actually, I think that's a really good sign in the sense that, like, I think I was really blessed and I'm so grateful for this, that, my mother is actually the one who introduced me to intuitive eating at the age of 15. And Baruch Hashem, she had always given us a really, really, I think at least, a really healthy attitude towards food. Baruch Hashem, we never felt like we lacked food-wise. And she never made us feel guilty for eating anything that was like wrong or bad or anything like that. Baruch Hashem, I feel like she gave us a really, really like healthy, positive self-image and body image. So I think that might be why I don't really have like this like really prominent memory of food. So that's really cool because I feel like that makes a lot of sense now that I think about it. I'm like, yeah, Baruch Hashem, I was so lucky. I was so blessed to have a mom who really just gave me such a healthy attitude towards food and who never made me feel ashamed of my body in any way. Like, it's so amazing for me to think about now, thinking back, that she really didn't. And there was a time where I was probably like in middle school where I was putting on weight and I was like a bit chubbier. I was also very tall and like had bigger bones, as they say. So like a lot of times I had to like find clothing that were in like bigger sizes or just like older, more adult looking clothing. And as a kid, a lot of times like I didn't really like that because I just wanted to be like my friends. It was hard for me to find shoes because I had like a very large foot size and everything. And Baruch Hashem, my mom never made me feel bad about that. She was always like very much just, our bodies take care of us. Our bodies do so many things for us. We're so lucky to have bodies that work and are healthy and are functioning. And we just need to do whatever works for them. We get whatever, get whatever size clothing fits our bodies, get whatever size shoes fits our bodies. And just, she was really, really like such a positive force. And also just, it was very neutral. Like it wasn't an issue either way. Like she wasn't super, you know what I mean? Like, I don't know how to explain it, but it was so, yeah, neutral, I guess is the term. And we were really, really lucky thinking back. I'm so blessed. And that's why I think it's so cool, Gila, that you teach high school students about this now, because I was in high school at that time. And like many people, I had the experience where my friends, during lunchtime, they would just be talking about how, like, oh, I'll have this piece of cake now, and then I'll just skip supper later. And I'll get like, because then their points would work out for Weight Watchers or whatever it was. And just talking about all these diet things and just a lot of things that sounded so toxic to me. And but at the time, nobody was really talking about how it was so toxic. But maybe we had one speaker in high school who was amazing and made a big impact on me as well. She talked about how she had like full blown, like she had anorexia, unfortunately, and she had to be hospitalized. And it was just a really sad story, how she lost her period and all kinds of like really sad things that she went through. And she really, really struggled with like a full-blown eating disorder. But I don't think that like a lot of people at the time didn't realize that it doesn't have to be that extreme, that people can still have disordered eating or just be thinking really negatively about themselves. Like definitely that was the kind of talk at my high school table for sure. High school lunch hour talk, was all about what everyone was doing to lose weight, whether it was whatever. I don't want to like trigger people either, but just so, yeah, warning for that. But just, people, talking about drinking like excessive amounts of coffee so that they would, basically have diarrhea from that and then lose weight. Like, I don't know, just so many sad ways, or buying laxatives or whatever from like the gas station and like things like that. So it was really sad. And thankfully, like, I'm so really so thankful that my mom really just gave me such a positive body image. And she really never mentioned to me about going on a diet to lose weight, even when I was probably like, according to whatever, I don't know, somebody's standards, I probably was somewhat like quote unquote overweight. I don't know. But it was like, she didn't really, she never pressured me in any way. She would just always make sure that I was eating enough and feeling full and feeling good in my body and that I was enjoying my food. And it was really never like, thank God, it was never a struggle. And then when like I said, when I was around 15, she introduced me to that topic She said she had heard about this concept called intuitive eating, and she didn't really, I don't think she read the books or anything. She had just heard of it kind of like on the, by the wayside kind of thing. And really as a teenager, like I was skeptical, but still like very impressionable, you know? So she mentioned it to me and I was like, okay, like that's weird. Like obviously right away my brain like kind of resisted the idea. I was like, that's really strange. Like, okay, so you're saying I just open the fridge and just eat whatever I want. Like it sounded weird and it sounded like, oh, that's not gonna work. Where, you know, if you think work means to, if it's not gonna help you lose weight. So I think that's where a lot of people get confused as well. They're like, oh, well, intuitive eating doesn't work. Or that's not going to work. And I think when, like, I think if their definition is that it's going to help them lose weight, well, then yeah, it may not. I mean, it might, but it might not. But that's not the goal. You know, the goal is really just to have a healthy relationship with food, with eating. So it was really interesting to me that, like, at the time, for some reason in my brain, I was like, which I think most, it's like a reaction that a lot of people have, which is, oh, that's not going to work, or that's so ridiculous. Like if I do that, I'm just going to like be eating Ben and Jerry's all day, like from here till, you know, next year, like breakfast, lunch and supper. When in reality, if we would really try to do that, probably by like supper time, or at least the next morning, you'd be like sick of eating only ice cream for all of your meals. Like it's not really, you know, it's not really realistic. I think people are scared of like what would happen if they let themselves go like that, you know, quote unquote. So I thought it sounded kind of wacky. I thought it sounded kind of ridiculous, but I was like very open to things, you know, as a teenager. I think teenagers are like really have such a great, like, you know, willingness to try things. So I tried it out. I was like, okay, let me try that. And I tried it and I've never looked back. Thank God. I just really liked the idea because as I started trying to do it, I think I realized like, okay, so what do I really want right now? Right? Do I want, and I would be like, let's say eating a sandwich and I would be like, okay, I feel like I still want to eat more. So like, I still want another sandwich, but I would be like, okay, but let me just think about it for a second. Like, what do I really want? Like, how much do I really want? And I would be like, well, I really want to taste it. And I am a little bit more hungry, but I don't want like a full sandwich. I think like half a sandwich would be like enough for me, you know, for right now at this mealtime. And so I would take another half a sandwich and I would be like, great. Like now I'm full and I enjoyed it. And that was perfectly enough for me. And like, I don't have to have more than that. And so it was so interesting because like quite the opposite of what I thought would happen, which is I would just, you know, never stop eating. Basically, I actually started to get really in tune with like, how much do I really need and what do I really want? And a lot of times it was like, oh, I don't even need a whole, you know, another whole sandwich or another whole, you know, slice of pizza or whatever it was. And I would be okay with like just taking half of one or sometimes I would want more and that was okay. Like basically either way, it was fine. And then I started realizing that I liked a lot of foods that I previously, you know, didn't necessarily feel so excited about, but like I got more into it. And sometimes I realized I was just thirsty when I thought I was really hungry, or so I would drink more water, or like sometimes I would be like, well, I'm hungry, but I want something like salty, or, you know, like I'm just craving something salty right now. So then I can have like, you know, a few salted peanuts or whatever it was. And, you know, I don't know, instead of like a whole bag of chips, like a whole massive bag of chips. So like, even though that it wasn't my goal to lose weight or anything, and I don't even know, honestly, because I really wouldn't, I wouldn't step on a scale and things like that. I really tried to stay away from being, you know, overly, I tried really hard not to be focused on the number on the scale. So I didn't, like, I barely weighed myself, but I just noticed that over time, I just had a much more like healthier overall attitude towards food. I was really happy to eat a lot of like healthy things. And when I was craving like a less, I don't know how you even want to phrase it these days, like in terms of healthy or not healthy, but whatever it was, like I don't know how to, like, what's the correct terms these days, but basically like, you know, I just realized I could enjoy all foods, and I knew how much I wanted of them, and I knew when I could stop, and I knew when I wanted to continue. And just listening to my own body signals just really helped me to have such a peace of mind. And you know, and I noticed when I was eating just because of social setting kind of things, where I was like, oh, like, I just kind of feel pressured to like take these like rogalach, and right now I don't even like rogalach, so that's interesting. I used to think like if I'm at a simcha, then I just have to eat everything because it's like free food, right? We're Jews, so. But then I just realized like, wow, I don't even really like that, or like what do I like? Oh, I'm at the simcha. There's a lot of food here. It's really beautifully presented, and there's so much of it, and you know, everyone's eating and having a great time. So like, let me think, like, what I really enjoy, like, what do I really like, and what do I really enjoy? Oh, there's a piece of pecan pie. Wow, I love pecan pie. Let me take a slice of that, instead of just, like, you know, rushing to, like, fill up my plate with, like, every single thing in sight at this event or whatever, you know? So Baruch Hashem, I felt like it really gave me such a, like, nice relationship with food. And yeah, so that was my introduction to it. I'm so lucky and blessed that I had a mother who gave me that concept. She already, you know, she already had raised us with a really healthy attitude towards food, I believe. But then, like, and a healthy self-image, like I said, Baruch Hashem, and healthy body image. But then as well, like, when she introduced me to that concept, and I really just ran with it, and I really, you know, Baruch Hashem, at 15, like, I was really happy to try it. I quickly just, you know, grabbed it and went with it. And Baruch Hashem, I feel that it's been such a great guide for me throughout my life, throughout all the twists and turns that my life has taken me on. Baruch Hashem, and it's given me such a self-knowledge, and just a real, yeah, it just has given me a real certain peace, inner peace. And it's helped guide me through a lot of, like I said, just ups and downs and throughout all of life until now. And Baruch Hashem now as well. I feel like, I could go through some of the things that I went through in my life and how it impacted me, but especially like tying it back to now, I just, you know, during this war, and it's been so stressful and everything. But I've really been coming back to my body at every time, at every opportunity that I have. I'm just asking myself, like, what do I need right now? I really need to drink some water. Okay, let me drink some water. So I'm like hydrated and I can keep taking care of my kids. Wow, I have a slight headache. Okay, I haven't eaten in like a few hours. Let me, you know, make myself something to eat and make sure I eat. I don't know if I mentioned already, but yeah, like, I like to get a nice coffee, you know, occasionally. I try to do that pretty regularly. It's something that I just regularly do as part of like my mental health, like, you know, something I like to do. And I felt a bit weird doing it now during the war, but I just thought to myself, like, you know, I really have to prioritize my self-care so that I can be here when I'm in such a, my role as a caretaker right now is very, very, very intense. Like, I'm with my kids for many, many hours a day alone. I have some help, but from family members, but, like I said, my husband is out, from the early hours of the morning till very late at night. And so it's really all on me right now. And, Baruch Hashem, it's going okay. But I just, any moment that I have to like, just check in with myself and just really use that, you know, use that quality of intuition of just really looking in towards myself and just asking myself, what do I need when I'm so busy around the clock taking care of everyone else's needs? Just to really, you know, fill up my own cup so I can keep giving to others, and making sure that I'm mentally healthy so I can keep, you know, getting through this really difficult time. So it's just been so helpful. It's been such a helpful guide. One day I did the grocery shopping, which usually my husband takes care of for various reasons. But anyway, so it was a little scary seeing, like, you know, some items missing, some basic items such as milk and flour. They didn't have certain things were like completely not stocked in the stores. They had run out because a lot of people were, you know, buying them up and needing these basic items. And I tried really hard to just look at all the things that they did have in the store and all the many, many stocked items that they did have, even though like a couple of things were missing. I was like, we still have so much, Baruch Hashem. Just trying to really look at everything that was there. There were like tons of snack items. So I picked up snacks for my kids and I thought like, should I get them some like fun, interesting snacks? And then I just decided to like get their normal snacks that we always get for them. So that kind of like to kind of keep up the normal routine a little bit and just give them their snacks that they're familiar with. So that like that can be such a good way to like sometimes when things are, you know, really out of control, just like having some familiar foods on hand can be so helpful to like give a sense of, yeah, familiarity and comfort and just peace. So I got the kids their usual snacks. Something I like to do when I have time, like in the summers or Chol Hamoed, if we have like a lazy morning, you know, without school kind of thing. So I like to make pancakes. So I bought a bottle of pancake syrup and we made pancakes like a few times through, like during the course of the war. It's just something that I think is really like, again, just something that we do when we're, you know, just home having a nice relaxing day. Like I'll be like, okay, we have some more time now. We're not rushing off to gone or whatever. So let's make some pancakes. And so I think like that was really nice. That was something that my kids really enjoyed and gave me a sense of like hominess and coziness and just like something that we do when we're in relaxed, peaceful times. So like, yeah, we're not in gone now. They're not going, you know, to their regular, we don't have a regular schedule because of the war, but we can still like utilize this time to just like, you know, bring us together as a family, be really cozy. I made banana muffins, which is another thing that my family likes. And I bought a bar of chocolate and I just like chopped that up and threw that in there. So that was really yummy. And I think we all felt the like coziness from that. And I don't know the scientific research behind this, like what's the latest research, but definitely chocolate has some kind of like, you know, feel good hormone or something that's that it gives off that like just really gives a sense of like, you know, like feelings of love and togetherness and peace. And so I really wanted to bring that for my family. And I think if I was worrying about the calories in these banana muffins or stressing out over what this pancake syrup was made out of, which I don't think it was real maple syrup. I think it was a lot of, you know, high fructose corn syrup or whatever. And to some people on some days that could be like, you know, a bad word, unfortunately. And for me, I was like, look, we're trying to, you know, calm our nervous system. We're trying to feel safe together as a family, Baruch Hashem, when so many families are being torn apart and are, you know, there's so many unfortunate, tragic things out there. And right now this is helping my children to, you know, feel calm and feel relaxed. And I'm aware of like, you know, obviously certain things. I actually do have a child who is very sensitive to like sugar and food colorings in her food. And I am careful to make sure that she's getting like a variety of foods and foods that have a lot of nutrients and minerals and vitamins that are going to really like, you know, pack a good punch before she gets exposed to those things. But anyway, not to go down that rabbit hole, but just basically, of course there are, you know, certain foods or too much of something can be harmful to some extent. But right now, like, just trying to look at the big picture and be like, this is like what our family needs right now. This is what's giving us a sense of calm and peace and togetherness and, you know, and just creating like a safe bubble where we can feel okay to express our feelings, to then, you know, to process the traumatic events. And so, yeah, I feel like food can really play a good role in that. of just being comforting. Like, again, going back to my earliest childhood memory around food, like, Baruch Hashem, it was such a positive one of, like, you know, visiting an elderly man. Like, to a little kid, it might be something that's a little bit, like, uncomfortable, or I don't know, like, people might have a negative association with that. But I was so, like, I just think of this, like, really comforting sponge cake that he used to make, and it was like, it wasn't even that sweet, it was just like slightly sweet, but it was so, it just reminds me of him, and like, he was so nice to us, and you know, and it was just like, you know, this sweet elderly relative. And excuse me, so basically just that, like, we've definitely been using certain foods as comforting, just to comfort us in this time. And I think it's been helpful. And it's not like we're just, you know, I don't know, it's not like we're just sitting around, you know, just eating piles and piles of junk food. It's more like, it's just understanding that, like, you know, calories, not that I think that I've heard that they're not really an accurate measure of, meaning, like, they're not necessarily a good scientific measuring tool with which to measure how beneficial a food is to you or not. But to really look at the big picture and be like, it's not about the weight, it's not about the calories, it's not about, this is not the time for like feeling guilty. I don't think it's ever the time, but you know, it's been so helpful to once again redirect myself to just being like, look, we have to do what's going to overall be the best for our overall health, including our mental health. And so worrying about that kind of thing is just going to be counterproductive to our mental health right now. And it's just something that, you know, I heard, I actually went to a gathering of women, and it was really nice. It was also to give chizuk, and we were doing some learning, and I just overheard some people discussing. There was people, someone put out some like delicious cake on the table, and to have while we were learning these halachos, and it's all towards the like zichus of the soldiers, and I heard people discussing like, oh, like, I'm only going to have a tiny bit because I don't want to, you know, feel guilty afterwards, blah, 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 like all this diet talk. And I was just like, seriously, like, you would think it would like a little bit, like, obviously, like, I'm also trying not to like, just carelessly consume the media, but I know what's going on, even though I'm not constantly scrolling on it. But I, you know, I hear the news and I know what's going on. I'm trying to protect my mental sphere and not just like overindulge in that and just constantly be, you know, just constantly be consuming that. But at the same time, like, I know what's going on, and a little bit like, I feel that this whole war and everything, as scary as it is, it definitely is helping, or I'm at least trying to, you know, let it influence me in the sense of like, just remembering what our real priorities are. And I feel like, I can't believe that even in a time when like there's such terrible things, and we're coming together for a good purpose, Baruch Hashem, and but people are still worried about like calories, and they're still worried about like, why should you feel guilty? Like, don't, you know, I don't know. I hope the listeners understand what I'm trying to say, but I was a bit like, just a bit shocked, or like, kind of like, you know, surprised that people are still like are worrying about that when they, I feel like there's so much more to consider right now. And like, of course, I as well, I'm still like, you know, I worry about little everyday details. I'm still just trying to like, you know, get through my day. And there's things that I'm sure are like petty little things, but I, you know, we all need to take care of ourselves, and we all need to do what works for us. So I don't mean to judge, but I'm just saying, like, I feel that there's, you know, when my life is kind of at risk, it does make me think like, you know, it's okay to, you know, like, is the only thing that matters is it like how I look on the outside, like how people see my body, like what size clothing I wear? It just seems so, it seems so ridiculous, kind of, or it just seems so minute when you're looking at such a big picture kind of thing. And I hope it's making sense, but it just felt so like silly, and it felt kind of sad, like, you know, people are trying to kill us right now. I don't know if, like, you know, chas v'shalom, I'm just like being silly right now, but I'm like, I don't know if, like, you know, chas v'shalom, okay, maybe I shouldn't say it, but I'm just saying, I don't think the terrorists don't really care what size clothing we wear right now. Do you know what I mean? Like, we're, you know, unfortunately our lives are at stake, and hopefully, I'm hoping, you know, we can go down the route of like fear and just being stressed out and scared. And I've had moments of fear, and I've had moments of anxiety, and I'm a human being, and I've felt scared, I've felt shaken, I felt, you know, it's depressing. You could think about it, can make you depressed, you know. I've tried really hard to, and I'm hoping that for myself as well, this is also to be mechazik myself, and something I've been thinking about a lot during this time is just like how sometimes we can be so focused on what's the outer image that we're giving off, you know, to our neighbors, to our, you know, family members that we think are judging us in whatever way, you know, our schools, our shuls, whoever it is that we think is judging us, seeing us, you know. And this is really, I'm really talking to myself, but like, you know, is that really the most important thing? Like, how, at the end of the day, like, is the image that I project, you know, what other people see of me, the outside, is that really like the only thing I need to live my life for? Like, I really would hope that I would be living my life all the time, not just during a time of war, but all the time, hopefully Bezrat Hashem soon in a time of peace. I hope I remember, you know, hopefully things calm down, and hopefully, you know, Bezrat Hashem, the Geula Shalema. But, you know, like for myself, I think what's been like a really big message is like the little, you know, the things that we just do for the image, for the external approval of others. Like, ultimately, does that really matter? Or is it, and are we hurting ourselves in the process by not living our own true life, by not really doing what's truly good for ourselves in the whole, you know, in a holistic way? Like, you know, if I'm only worried about eating the piece of cake because of the calories, because of if I'll fit into that dress, because of if so-and-so will think of me as fat, whatever it is, like, if that's like how I live my life, you know, because that seeps through, that comes into other areas as well. Like if I'm living my life, you know, constantly for the outer image, then I feel like it just takes away from the true integrity and from what I could be truly living as, like how my life, and the only one who really benefits or is hurt by that is myself. Like I'm the only one who will truly be affected at the end of the day by the decisions that I make. And so basing it on people's outward approval or acceptance is just like really silly. I know I'm a human being. I do that too as well. Like, of course I think of it as well. And it's something that probably runs a lot of the decisions that I make, unfortunately, but I'm really hoping that like, I'm really hoping that I can put things back into perspective and kind of be like, okay, like, you know, ultimately the decisions I make are the only person that it's affecting really. I mean, it affects other people as well, but ultimately the main one that it affects is me. And so I have to be really careful, and I really want to live my life in a more, you know, just authentic way. And so I hope that helps me. I hope that helps someone listening. Again, like, you know, everything, you know, whoever can say tefillos, whoever can give donations, whatever, of food, clothing, money, whatever it is, like any way to help is helpful. And anything you can do to help yourself to get through this time is so helpful. And I love that message from Gila on the podcast. And it's something that I just keep coming back to self-care and to making sure that like I'm okay, so that then I can help the people around me to the best of my ability. And so I hope that helps someone. And Bezrat Hashem, we should see the Geula Shalema Bekarov. And hopefully we all put our true priorities and our focus on the right things. Very much talking to myself here again, like this is just something that I personally noticed. during this time that like sometimes I'm so caught up on like these little things which really don't affect anyone else besides for me, and it's just the image that I'm trying to project, or it's just I want to feel accepted, and so that's why I'm doing something a certain way. But you know, ultimately I'm the one who really pays the price for the good or for the bad. So either way, so yeah, hope that helps someone. Yeah, for sure. I mean, I have like I just feel like I have so much like to say on the topic. So just a random like anecdote, but I didn't want to like include this, but just something that like really got me fired up also is like I know somebody who was following one of these like nutrition basically diet plans. And she kept telling me like, yeah, don't worry, it's not like restrictive and whatever. I mean, meanwhile, she's like measuring out her, you know, how many, I don't know, cups of watermelon or whatever it was. I don't know. But anyway, and yeah, and I kept like thinking like, okay, I mean, like she keeps saying it's all about like the nutritional content and everything. And then basically I knew the name of the diet program that she was following and like who, you know, who it was that was doing it. And then I saw this ad in a mishpacha or something like that. Sorry, not it's I don't think it was necessarily that, just one of these like Jewish magazines. And it showed like and the ad was basically for this diet plan that keeps saying how it's all about the nutrition. It's just like, you know, and she's like, yeah, it's all about just like eating the things that make me feel good and blah, blah. And it sounds kind of like it's supposed to be, you know, just about, you know, nutrition and everything. But then the ad for the program was literally like, do you want to fit into your Sheva Brachos outfit from 12 years ago or something like that? And I don't want to like name the program. Maybe you've seen it around. I don't know. But I was just like, okay, so basically it's all about like, you know, just fitting into a certain size of clothing and looking a certain way. And like, why should we have to fit into our Sheva Brachos outfits? Like, hopefully we had kids since then. Hopefully our lives have become more meaningful since then. Like, hopefully we're busy with a lot of things. We're not, it's not like 12 years past. Like, we've, you know, hopefully people have grown and changed. And like, why should we look exactly the same way? Anyway, so I could get pretty like, I don't know. So it really like, it reminded me and brought back home the point of like, wow, it's really, you know, even this program that like, you know, kind of touts itself as nutrition, but like really it's all about how you look and what your size is and that kind of thing. So yeah, it was like super frustrating. Anyway, I just thought I would share it with you because I feel like I always hear you like from, you know, your side of things on the podcast, and I've been listening for a while, and I'm like sometimes like I want to say something like also back, you know, I'm like, oh, like I also heard this thing, and you know, anyway, so just thought I would share it with you.
Thank you all so much for being here on my podcast, Get Into It with Gila. If you'd like to learn more about what I do and what intuitive eating is, please visit my website at www.gilaglassberg.com or follow me on Instagram at Gila Glassberg. Thank you so much. Have a great day.